Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR, is with me as usual to talk weather and climate. Thanks for being here, Kenny.
Oh, good to be here. Are you ready for some more cold?
Yeah. Seems like we don't have much of a choice about it. It looks like temperatures start dropping around noon today, and then it's just been quite a bit of up and down. Our friends in Brimson said they went from, I think it was 28 below or maybe 25 below one morning, and then the next morning 25 above. So 50 degree difference without
not
even
bad.
A big blow. So
yeah.
We're all kind of wilded out by the temperature change around here.
Yeah, it is a, it's been interesting for sure. It hasn't, you know, I guess one of the things about this winter is, it's been pretty non-committal so far.
Yeah, that's a good word.
We haven't, you know, really fully embraced, you know, I'm going to be cold or I'm going to be warm. And certainly, I'm going to be snowy. It's put in pretty much kind of B-minus efforts across the board. not to throw too much shade at our beloved winter, but it's not really performing up to the normal standards. I would actually say, snow, it's been, you know, really a C-minus performance so far. Although I'm sure listeners are quite happy with the little blanket of snow you've gotten in the last week or so.
We are happy with that little blanket. And we're not complaining.
Yeah.
We're not complaining. Don't want to upset the weather gods any more than they maybe are already annoyed at us. But so it at least is white. Although even that is starting to, with the melting, I thought it wouldn't melt at all in January, even with a temperature above 32. It just seemed like the sun is so low, but there was some melting going on.
It's low, but I mean, you know, we're getting into mid-January, and so we're almost a month after the solstice.
That's
and
true.
So the sun's not as weak as it was. And I, you know, I'm already noticing the 5 p.m. sunlight differences, right? I mean,
yes.
It's just, there's more, the daylight is starting to extend. Now, there's a bit of a lag, but that snow, I think I mentioned, so our office is, we're undertaking a kind of a in-depth snow depth and temperature study just to try and understand, you know, it's not direct causation. There are feedbacks in it, but we understand that generally when there's snow on the ground, the temperatures end up being lower than they would be if there wasn't any snow on the ground. And then conversely, you know, the opposite stands too. When there isn't snow on the ground, the temperatures can go higher than they could go generally if there were snow on the ground. And the reason is because of the way that the sun gets reflected from a bright snowpack. And if the sun is reflected off of that fresh, bright snowpack, it really can't be absorbed by the ground. And so the ground won't get as warm. And so there won't be as much convective heat in the lower atmosphere. And so you end up with much lower temperatures. One of the first stations we looked at is the Wolf Ridge Environmental Learning Center.
Yeah.
So not too far, right? I mean,
right.
They haven't been around quite as long as the Brimson Station. But one of the reasons we wanted to look at them is they are really the capital of snowpack in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, there aren't many stations that have consistent record for 30 years that have deep snow the way that the ELC at Wolf Ridge has. So what we've seen is that from December through February, if there's no snow on the ground, then again, there's a whole bunch of factors at play. It's not a direct cause-effect relationship, but it's close. If there's no snow on the ground, December through February, the average temperature is actually about 26, 27 degrees at Wolf Ridge.
Oh.
Just by putting 1 inch of snow on the ground, that average temperature drops to 19 degrees. And that's something.
Yeah.
Meaning that just by having a small coating of snow, I mean, you know, an inch is not a small coating, but that's, you know, the lowest measurable amount for snow depth. That produces enough reflection. I mean, and obviously you've got hundreds of days where there's an inch of snow on the ground or more over the accumulated winters at Wolf Ridge. If you increase the snow depth to 5 inches, the temperature drops down another 4 degrees. So now it's a full 10 degrees lower with 5 inches of snow on the ground than it is with no snow on the ground. And this keeps going. By the time you get to 30 inches of snow, which is a thing that happens pretty regularly in the highlands of northeast Minnesota, and any normal winter, you'll get snow depths over 2 feet and sometimes up to 30 inches or more. Once you're at 30-inch snow depth, the average temperature is a full 16 degrees lower than when there's no snow on the ground. That's this is an extremely strong relationship. There are going to be days, of course, where there's deep snow on the ground and you've got a warm air mass in place. It's late February and the temperatures are in the high 40s. But when you average all of those instances, you know, you actually end up with a mean temperature for the day right around 10 degrees. That's a much lower temperature than if there isn't snow on the ground at the same time of the year.
It kind of reminds me of that winter of 2014 when the ice was so thick on the lake and the snow, and it just seemed like it was getting warmer and warmer, but it just could not.
Right.
It was having, you could just feel it trying to warm up and not being able to.
So that's a legendary winter. That's probably the most recent example of a historically cold winter that we have.
Yep.
It was legitimately one of the coldest winters on record, although not in the top three or five or anything like that. But for a lot of Minnesota, that winter, the 2013-14 winter, that was the first winter that the term polar vortex had been sort of branded.
Yes.
And so people were saying that word a lot. That winter was, in many stations, it was the coldest in decades. And I think in the Twin Cities, it might have been the coldest winter in something like 80 years. I mean, it was a legitimately cold winter. Again, not the coldest on record and not really even close, but it was legitimately cold. And yeah, that winter, there really wasn't a ton of super heavy snow. There was a good snowstorm that hit the Arrowhead early in the winter that year. But what was happening instead was we were just getting these 3 to 5 inch snowfalls, and they just sort of gradually accumulated through the winter with very little melting going on.
Right.
Until you got into March and April. And so, yeah, you were building strong ice on Lake Superior. That was also a year where the ice caves, I think, had like record traffic.
Yes.
Coming out of Bayfield because the ice formations on the lake were otherworldly and they were huge and there were like giant turrets and things forming. It was quite a spectacular winter. I was fortunate to spend much of that winter outside making a documentary about winter. So that was quite a winter to do it.
And you probably knew at the time how precious that was that you were getting to do that on that winter.
Yeah, it felt both cursed and fortuitous. We had a lot of, you know, frostbite encounters that winter, because, you know, if you're shooting scenes outside,
right,
you know, there's gloves off and or transitions, and you're spending a lot of idle time moving equipment around, miking up, and we got hurt pretty good, but it was memorable too. What a winter for trying to document winter, especially at a time where we really hadn't been having. It had been a long time since we'd had a winter, obviously nothing like that, but even kind of one category lower. They just hadn't been that common. So it felt in that way like a real jackpot to be able to document a cold, snowy, long, brutal winter.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, which, yeah. I mean, we don't have time to really get into it, but will we have a winter like that again? What are the odds?
Oh, I think we will. I think that, you know, because it's all about the prevailing winds. It's all about, does the circulation pattern favor bouts of intense and prolonged cold air? And I think those patterns are going to continue to occasionally emerge. I just think that the tendency is for them to not be as severe as they used to be, because there's really not as much cold air around. But you could still, I mean, there's more than you'd think.
Yeah. The
part of the world that doesn't get, in fact, just to kind of leave this part on an upbeat note, when you look at the most dire projections for Northeast Minnesota at the end of the century, and I mean dire meaning we not only don't figure things out in terms of emissions, but somehow globally they manage to get much worse.
Okay.
Which isn't a particularly likely scenario given
investments. No, I agree.
And solar and things like that. When you look at the projections that the University of Minnesota Climate Adaptation Partnership has made available for snow depth, even in that incredibly dire scenario, that snowy part of Northeast Minnesota still has an average of 60 to 90 days with 6 inches of snow on the ground per winter. Now, it's worth pointing out that that actually represents a reduction of, you know, 35 to 60 days of that much deep snow. But it's notable that, you know, there's indications that even as we go through potentially egregious warming, that we'd still have, you know, these reservoirs of winter and availability to get some winter conditions, even if they're fewer and farther between than they used to be.
Okay. Thanks for that. That is a good note to end on. And we don't have time, but I think cold and dry is pretty much the prediction for the next week.
Cold, dry. Watch for some blowing snow. It's going to be really cold, but if you've been in the northeast part of Minnesota for a long time, this won't even make your top 50 for cold weather events.
Okay. So. Okay. Great. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Kenny.
Great. Thanks, Katya.
Yeah, we'll see you. Bye-bye. That was Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR.